We're so glad that you could join us for Come Alive this evening. I am Pastor Grace Phillip from Agape Bible Ministries, and as you know, we come and talk to you every Thursday evening at this time. My friend Jenny is sitting on the side tonight, and because we have Pastor Sean Michaud with us again tonight to minister the word. As you know, our church is on Riverside Road in Curep, and we have Sunday services at 7 in the morning and 9:30. And you can join us if you don't have a home church where you go and belong. And Wednesday, we have prayer and Bible study beginning at 6 p.m. But tonight, we have Pastor Michaud with us again, and I have asked him to talk about the matter of identity, because who you believe you are will decide the direction in which your life goes. And God has not planned any defeats for you. He's not planned any destruction for you. He's planned for you to walk with Jesus and fulfill all the good works that he has already put on his list for you to accomplish during your life. So, Pastor Michaud, take it away.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again this Thursday evening in Trinidad. And so I was very blessed last week to be able to share with you, and we're going to go ahead and continue this week. If you remember, if you were listening last week, we ended basically talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, 24, that you were already created. Your new man was already created in true righteousness and holiness. And then we also looked in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, how that by Jesus' one sacrifice, you have been perfected forever. Amen. By what Jesus did, not by what you do. And so we're going to go and continue on that, and I'm going to give you a great testimony about how this all helps you to be able to walk in all that God has for you. Let's go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2. And we need to understand that when we came to Christ, we became a new creation. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are now new. Old things are passed away. Amen. It tells us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 that if any man is joined to the Lord, he's now one spirit with him. And so we saw last week that when you were born again, it was your spirit that was joined to the Lord. And just as Jesus said, that which is flesh and that which is spirit. And the way that you contact the spirit and see who you are in Christ, see what Christ has done inside of you, is by looking into the word, because it's the word that is spirit and it's the word that is life. You know, it says that the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. Jesus said that in John chapter 6. And so over in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And it says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." I want you to focus on verse 10, Colossians 2 and verse 10. It says, "You are complete in him." That's what the Bible says. You know, that word complete there in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, so I'm not going to tell you how to pronounce it and all those types of things, but I do know what it means. And it means so full, nothing else can be added. See, a lot of us as believers, we think we're basically empty. And we have a little bit, you know, and we think, oh, I was filled once, but I'm empty now. You know, the truth is that if you are in Christ, you are always full. You are always complete. Now you might be feeling empty in your experience because you've been coasting perhaps in your relationship with the Lord. You haven't been keeping your eyes upon Jesus, and you've gotten your eyes upon all the things of this world. And I don't know if you've noticed, but if you get your eyes on the things of this world, even the things that you need to take care of, I'm not saying ignore your children. You need to take care of your children. I'm not saying don't go to work. You must work. We know the Bible says that. Don't think, oh, I'll just quit my job and keep my eyes on Jesus. That is not what the Bible teaches. Amen. So we're not talking about that. But when you get your eyes off of and make the things of this world your focus, make the things of this world your purpose, it will drains out all of the spiritual vitality that you have in your experience. But it doesn't mean that God leaves. He's still there with all the power, with all the ability, with all his characteristics, and everything that he is still there on the inside of you. It's just that you've gotten your mind on the wrong things. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded You know, that word carnal there is not necessarily talking about what we would consider sinful. It's talking about natural, talking about fleshly, talking about all the natural things of this world. So to be wrapped up in everything with this world, the Bible calls is carnal mindedness. And the Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What is spiritually minded? Keeping your eyes on what Jesus has done in you and for you and what he wants to do through you. Amen. And so in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, you are complete in him. We have to believe that. We have to say, you know what? I humble myself, God, and say, even though I thought I wasn't complete, I thought there were still some things missing. You have to say, you know what, God? I am complete in you because that's what you say. You know what humility is? Humility is not self-loathing. Humility is agreeing with God and saying everything that I have thought about myself doesn't matter. It's only what you think about me, God. What you think about me, Jesus. You know, there are times when we don't feel very lovely and we can be convinced that God doesn't love me right now because I really don't love myself right now. Let's be honest. Sometimes we blow it. We make mistakes and sometimes we just get frustrated with ourselves. I don't know about you, but that's happened with me. And if we're not careful, we can think that that's the way God feels about us, but it's not. God's love for us never fails. It's never ending. Amen. So I want you to see something else. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 6. These are just some verses we need to see. We need to focus on. We need to be totally embraced and say, this is who I am. Look at verse 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, and because you are sons, how many of you are sons? How many of you are now a child of God? That's what he's talking to you. It's not talking about sex here, male or female. It's talking about position. Okay? When it says you are a son, it's talking about position in God's house. You are the one that has the birthright. That's what it's talking about. Whether you're male or female, okay? It's not talking about sex, not talking about gender here. So it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Notice that. Jesus now lives inside your heart. And it says here that he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, and it's that Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. Do you know that you have the Spirit of Jesus living on the inside of you that yearns to seek the Lord? How many of you ever just felt like seeking the Lord sometimes? Sometimes you just have that, strong desire just to get along with God and just to get in the Word and just to pray. And it's not that you're trying to produce anything. It's just you just know, man, you just have that, you just that drawing just to be with the Lord. So those of you who like to sing, maybe you'll add singing to that. You know, I'm not a praise and worship leader or singer, so I don't generally go that route, but my daughters do. Both my daughters love to sing, and that's one of their major ways of their relationship with God. Amen. But do you know that when that takes place, that is Jesus in you drawing and yearning for the Father? That's what it says right there. So I want you to notice that. Is that God has made such victory, such power available to you because he now lives there. The problem is that a lot of us don't yield to it. Think about all the times when you've had a yearning just to be with the Lord and we thought we were too busy. And we thought, I'll do that later, and then later that feeling's not there. I'm not saying we go based on feelings, but you know what? There are times when there are those feelings. Amen. But what I wanted to point out here was that you have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of His Son, in your heart right now. Amen. But we need to believe that. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now we're going to get into some things that a lot of people, really need to grab a hold of this because it really will help them. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Notice that. Has blessed us, not will bless us one day in the future. It says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is something that's already taken place. So again, you'll have to say either that's true or the Bible's not true. Well, I don't see it in my experience. Are you okay? The Bible says you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So either the Bible's true or your experience is deceiving you. Now think about that very carefully. In your experience, you may not be experiencing all those blessings, but the Bible says that you already have them in the Spirit. Notice that, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. I could explain a little bit more about that, but we need to move on because I want to say some other things. But you need to believe that God's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing that you need. And if you're joined to the Lord and you're now one spirit with Him and Jesus now lives on the inside of you, I can see how when you start looking at it that way, you can say, you know what? I do have every spiritual blessing inside of me. And the key to the Christian life is learning how to tap into what God's given you, not trying to get something that you don't believe God's given you. Amen. God's already given you everything that you need, but we just have to believe that. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to see this. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 2, and it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." How many of you ever wanted more grace? How many of you ever wanted more peace? I've heard a lot of prayers. Oh, God, give me peace. Give me peace. Give me peace, Lord God. Give me, you know, and they're expecting peace to come out there from someplace. Amen. I want you to notice it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." In other words, when you start to discover that you already have grace, you have Jesus. Jesus is our grace. Amen. He's God's ability. He is the gift that God has given us. And we already have God's peace. The Bible says we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Our peace with God doesn't fluctuate. Now, our perception of that peace might fluctuate depending on what we're going through. That is why the Bible says, look unto Jesus. It didn't say only when things are going well. Matter of fact, it was in context in Hebrews chapter 12, right after showing how a lot of those Old Testament saints were martyred. And then it says, and this is how you do it, look unto Jesus. So how do you lay aside every weight and all the sin that easily besets us? The Bible gives us the solution, looking unto Jesus. Amen. So it says here in verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Verse 3, "as His divine power has given," not will give, says He has given, "as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." How? "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Now think about this. If you already have Jesus, the Spirit of His Son, now living inside your heart, how can you think you still have lack somewhere? You might have lack in your experience. You may have lack in knowledge. You may have lack in what you're believing God for, but you don't have lack in Christ. Christ is in you. You are complete in Him. You start seeing this. You start seeing that your blessings aren't out there someplace. They're right there inside of you in Christ Jesus. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't make a difference to you, but to me, it makes a lot of difference when I believe that I already have something that I'm needing to discover rather than believing that I don't have something and I have to go find it. Think about that. The Bible says that the Word of God is more precious than treasure, like hidden treasure. I want you to notice that. What do you do if you have hidden treasure? If someone tells you you have treasure in your backyard, what do? You go and you dig. You go looking for it. Not because you believe that by digging it'll show up. You dig because you believe it's there. I don't know if that makes sense to you, if that analogy makes sense to you. But approaching God based on that He's already given me everything because He loves me, and finding out what it is, looking into that perfect law of liberty that we talked about last week in James chapter 1, when we look into the Word and we find out who we are in Christ, we find out who Jesus is, we find out that we're already holy, we find out that we're already righteous, we find out that we're already accepted by God, we find out that He's already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we're seeking God to find knowledge about it, not seeking God to try to impress God so that He can then give us something that we believe we don't already have. If you already have Christ, then you already have everything that God can offer. And you start seeing it that way. Amen? You start seeing, I already have peace. I already have the anointing. I already have the Holy Spirit. Or you have to go and get it out there someplace. Amen? Now, I want to give an example of this because sometimes we don't live our lives based on that. We live our lives based on how we feel right now. And so we try to get something that we believe we don't already have. And so we go to a service and we hope that we're going to get something that we don't already have. And sometimes we leave disappointed because we feel like we left without it. Now think about that. Amen. That's not the way that God wants us to be. I'm going to give an example one time of what happened with me one time. I was in Durban, South Africa, and I was walking into a shopping mall. And there was this Zulu woman. She was begging for food. She had her young child with her. And it was one of those days when I wasn't feeling very spiritual. Matter of fact, things were not going well that day. It was a Friday, and things weren't going very well that day. We were tired. It was my wife and my three children. We were tired. We were hungry. We all just wanted to go and get something to eat and take a shower and go to bed. I don't know if you've ever had those days where you felt that way. You didn't want to be messed with. You hoped you didn't see anybody on the way because you really don't want to talk to anyone. And I know you think that ministers don't think that way, but we're human too. And sometimes we're carnally minded in that area. Amen. And so I remember one time we were in the mall, and there's this woman begging for food, and it was not the day that she should be approaching me for anything. I just really didn't want to be bothered. And so I'm walking past her, and she's asking me for food, and I remembered basically almost shrugging her off. I'm just being honest, and basically said, yes, 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 okay, okay, like almost a be warmed and filled thing. And so as I'm in the grocery store, in this mall they had a grocery store, and so we were going there to buy some food and then go home. While I'm in the grocery store, I remember, because I had this understanding that it isn't based on how you feel, it's based on what the Bible says about you, that Jesus now lives on the inside of you. And so if I have Jesus, then I have the same person that did all of those miracles in the New Testament, all in the Gospels. I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living on the inside of me. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, that we have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of us. And so I remember the Lord just was ministering to my heart and said, will you let me touch that woman through you? See, that's how we need to see ourselves. Everywhere we go, we are carrying Jesus. So a lot of times we forget that. Sometimes we think we're just shopping. Sometimes we think we're just getting groceries. We think we're just buying clothes. We think we're just getting gas for the car. You know, sometimes we forget that we are carrying Jesus with us everywhere we go. Amen. And so I remember the Lord just ministered to my heart and says, will you let me touch that woman through you? Will you? See, the key was me, whether or not I would believe, even though I didn't feel anointed. You know, you don't need to worry about it, whether or not you feel anointed. I didn't feel like praying. You don't need to worry about whether or not you feel like praying. How many of you didn't feel like going to church sometimes? And you made yourself go anyway, and you were glad you did, because you had that was a great message, and it really uplifted you, and you left happy instead of discouraged before you came to church. That's happened to me many times, and I was the one who preached the message. Praise the Lord. And every preacher out there, if you're listening to me, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, I'm in the grocery store, and I just felt the Lord say, will you let me touch her? That is my inheritance. That is someone I love. Will you let me touch her through you? And so I said, of course, Jesus, how can I refuse that? I will let you touch. I will humble myself and say, it doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter that I'm tired. Doesn't matter that I'm not in a good mood. Doesn't matter that I'm hungry and I just want to shower and go to bed. Doesn't matter that I don't feel like giving anyone advice or ministering right now. It doesn't matter. Jesus, you want to. You're ready. And I have you living on the inside of me. So you are going to be the one that touches her. So I bought her some food, and we walked right back out. And she's sitting there again. And I walk over to her, and I give her the food. And again, honestly, I was tempted just to give her the food and just let it be at that. But that was not what the Lord wanted me to do. He didn't want me just to give her food, you know, and he wanted me to minister life to her. So I just simply said, has anyone ever told you how much Jesus loves you and what he's done for you? And so she said, well, I've gone to church. I said, I didn't ask that. Have you heard what Jesus has done for you? So I just shared the gospel with her real quickly. I told her how Jesus loves you, how we all have made mistakes and we've all sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to die. He died in your place, that if you will receive him, that he will make you his child. Do you believe that? And she said, yes, I believe that. Then I noticed there was something wrong with her. So I just said, what's wrong with you? And she said, I have asthma. I said, do you know that Jesus bore your sickness the same way he bore your sin? And the same way that he forgives your sin is the same way that he'll heal your body. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And she said, yes, I believe he bore my sickness. And so it didn't take long at all. And so I remember laying hands on this woman and praying for her. And the Lord Jesus healed that woman right there at the entrance of the mall while everyone was walking by and watching us. And you know what? That woman got so excited because she discovered how much Jesus loved her, that he not only forgave her of her sins, but he healed her body, that she started to cry. And she said, I was hoping that someone would give me some money so I could go into the drugstore there in the mall and buy some asthma spray. I said, well, isn't Jesus so awesome? He did a lot more than just giving you however little bit of money you needed to buy that. He healed you, so you'll never need to buy that again. Now think about this. What if I said, well, I don't feel anointed today. I need to go and pray first and get the anointing. Folks, Jesus is the Holy Spirit is the anointing. It's not a thing. The anointing is not an it. The anointing is a person. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, he's not the only one that God's with. He's in us. He's with us. We could put our name there, how God anointed us with the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you believe in Jesus and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've been anointed with the same Spirit that Jesus was anointed with. I'm not saying you're Jesus, but I'm saying you have Jesus in you. And so we are carrying Jesus everywhere we go. Now think about it. If just in this nation, everyone who loves Jesus, everyone who calls upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if they would get this Christ identity and not their self identity and stop thinking, well, I don't feel anointed today. I'm tired. And just say, you know what? It doesn't matter if I'm tired. The flesh part of Sean, the flesh part of who, whatever your name is tired. Jesus is on the inside of me and the Spirit is life. And the Spirit profits everything. And we start to tap into who we are in the Spirit. I guarantee you, there would be such testimonies coming out of this little island that the whole world would hear about it. You know, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for the few super ones that have big meetings. He's looking for every single person who's joined to Him to realize who they are in Christ, to realize they're a new creation, to realize that they have been created in true righteousness and holiness, to realize that they are complete, that nothing else needs to be added, to realize because Jesus is the one that's complete. Amen. And to realize that they already have every spiritual blessing, but it's according to knowledge. Now think about if I didn't have that knowledge, I could have walked away and that lady could still be sick. And not saved. I thank God for this knowledge, folks. I'm not teaching you something that I just read out of a book. This is something that's real to me. Something that whenever I put in practice, I see results. And you can too. Amen. But we need to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. Let's turn over to Philemon very quickly. Philemon is right before Hebrews. It's a little bitty chapter. It only has one chapter. It's a small, small book, right after Titus, right before Hebrews. Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective or effectual. How many of you would like the sharing of your faith to become effectual? Well, Paul writes and he tells us how that happens. He says, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by what? The acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice what he said there. He says, your faith becomes effective. And the sharing of your faith. You know what the sharing of your faith is? The sharing of your faith is not just preaching a gospel message so people get their sins forgiven. It is the sharing of who Jesus is. Healing. Restoration in families. People being restored, people coming to Christ and being healed, all of those things, sharing food, clothes, whatever it may be. It says that the sharing of your faith is effective when you acknowledge every good thing which is in you. Amen? In Christ Jesus. I want you to notice where it is. It's in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ? In you. It's not in you without Christ. He didn't give it to you and walk away. He himself is what you need. He himself is that good thing. Amen. How many of you are denying that Jesus is that good thing? Well, none of us, if we love Jesus. So you're going to have to start saying, you know what? I need to start believing this stuff. I need to stop seeing myself as terrible. I need to stop seeing myself as a worm. No, you're not a worm. I don't have time to teach on this. If you're born again, you were transformed from a worm into a caterpillar. Now, what's the difference between a worm and a caterpillar? On surface level, not much. Except a worm can never become a butterfly, But a caterpillar, under the right circumstances, in the right environment, can be transformed into a beautiful butterfly. Amen. And so, in the right environment, which is you keep your eyes on Jesus and acknowledge all the good things that Christ has done for you, you can be transformed from a caterpillar. And a caterpillar is who you are in the flesh, okay? The way you look to everyone else and the way you perceive yourself. But the nature of the caterpillar produced the butterfly. It wasn't, I want you to listen carefully. It wasn't that the caterpillar changed into something totally different. It was the nature within the caterpillar itself, in the right environment, was transformed into what it really was on the inside. I want you to see that. And so when we get ourselves in the right environment, keeping our eyes on Jesus, acknowledging that He is in us, acknowledging that we are totally different than what we were before we came to Christ, and we start to meditate on that, we start to abide in the Word, we start to continue to keep our eyes on the perfect law of liberty, we continue to keep our eyes on the Word, which is Spirit and life, we are transformed. That nature of Christ that is on the inside of us, that new man, we start to put it on, and we are transformed in our outward appearance. I'm not talking about the way we look naturally, but I'm talking about the way we are. And people say, wow, you've changed. How many of you have said, wow, you're not the same, you're not the same old Sean you used to be? That's right. I'm not. It's not because of me. It's because of Christ in me and allowing that nature that is deposited on the inside of me, acknowledging that. And for you too, you will be transformed when you have your mind renewed to that. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and how good you are. We acknowledge tonight all the good in Christ. Everything that's true about Christ is now true about us in our spirits because He lives there. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are not worms. Maybe we're caterpillars in this point, but Lord, we thank you that as we acknowledge everything you've given us, we are transformed and we are able to allow you to live your glorious life through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. We'll see you next time. Bye.